Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Greetings in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's a delight for both my dear wife and myself to be with you and to share these moments. And we are grateful to the Lord first and foremost for the invitation by my dear friend and pastor, colleagues, dear wife, and the elders, inviting us to be with you. It's a privilege. We always deem it an honor and a privilege whenever we are invited to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because the Apostle Paul says that the gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation to all that believe, to the Jews first and also to the Gentiles. So we are glad that we are busy with the power of God. That's what it's all about. It's the power of God that rescues us, the power of God that heals us, the power of God that gives us prophetic words, the power of God that's evident in the Church of Jesus Christ today. So thank you very much, Pastor, and the elders of the church, the pastors, Pastor, and two pastors sitting here, and all the other pastors and all the congregation. God bless you. It's always a joy for me to have my wife, and I make it a habit of calling on my wife to come and share and just to say hi to the people whenever I speak. And this moment, I'll call on my darling wife just to come and say hello to you. And yes, thank you.
Hi, everybody. And it's especially nice to be here today because I wasn't going to come. I bring greetings from our church in Endeavour Hills, Southeastern Christian Centre. Today they're celebrating 31 years, so I was going to be there for the anniversary. Then we found out that Pastor Frank was here two times, and I said I needed to go. I needed to be his driver. And so it's very nice to be here. I just want to encourage you. One of the first worship songs that you were singing, of God Not Growing Faint, and it's to encourage us not to grow faint too. Just testimony-wise, we have just been having a mini revival over at Southeastern, particularly because people have been praying. We had, which month, we had a whole focus on praying, morning prayer times, night times, praying for our unsaved families and friends. And we have had, since then, over a period of 2 weeks, seven men made first-time decisions for Christ. And this has continued to last weekend. A family of three, their son died in April after coming to Heaven's Gates, Hell's Flames. I don't know if you've seen that production. He came on the Sunday, gave his life to Christ, and died on the Thursday. His whole family now have come to Christ since that time. It was a tragedy, but they've all come to Christ. Yeah. But a particular one for perseverance is a lady in our church has been in our church for over 20 years, praying for her unsaved husband who was alcoholic, constantly praying. She has never given up. It has felt like giving up, but hasn't. We started a community market recently with the purpose of outreach in the community. He came to that market. He doesn't want anything to do with the church, but he came. Oh. He bought a rose, and then he went to drive to buy some beer to drive home. He got to the roundabout, and something compelled him to turn around and come back. He said, I don't know what your church has done to me, but he couldn't go and buy the beer. 2 weeks later, he's been born again, and he's going on for God. So persist, no matter how long it takes, no matter, God sees and God is working. Hallelujah. I want to encourage you, keep persisting.
Amen. Love you. Thank you. That's fine, sweetheart. Could we please bow our heads and hearts before the Lord in prayer? And so, Heavenly Father, eternal, immortal, invisible, the everlasting, omnipotent, all-powerful Father, we come with this church this morning into your presence. We commit the church, ourselves, everything to you. We pray that once again today, your kingdom would come. Your will would be done in earth as it is in heaven. This morning, we come with honor. We come with praise. We come with hallelujah. We come with honor to your name. We exalt you because you are the God eternal, the God immortal, the God invisible. You are the everlasting Father. And we are thankful that when we pray, we can say, Abba, Father. We exalt your precious name that we are in Christ Jesus. Because we are in him, we are the head and not the tail. We are above and not beneath. We will lend and not borrow. And whatsoever we do shall prosper. Christ is our healer. Christ is our savior. Christ is our deliverer. Christ is our Lord. Christ is our shepherd. Christ is our king. King of kings and Lord of lords is he. His is the honor. His is the praise. He's defeated sin, hell, the devil himself on the cross of Calvary. He rose victoriously. He's our ever-living Savior. Revelation says, he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. Thank you, Jesus. You said, where two or three gathers in your name, you are there. We welcome you in our midst this morning. We say, hallelujah. We say, Christ, be exalted in our midst. Christ, be glorified in our midst. Christ, be manifested in our midst. Be exalted and lifted up high. May your presence be sent in a powerful and a tangible way as we tabernacle with you this morning. Yours is the honor. Yours is the power. Yours is the glory forever and ever and ever. Every family in this place, I release your blessing on them profoundly. The pastor, his wife, the eldership, and all the pastors, they all be blessed this morning in the name of Jesus. You bless us with blessings that make us rich, and we are enriched in the spirit this morning. We are not impoverished. We are rich in Christ Jesus. Oh, we praise you. We bless you. We honor you. We magnify. Thank you for your word that's anointed by the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you will deposit truth into our spirit. You'll give us revelation and insight, and we will be the better for receiving truth. Be glorified. Be glorified. And we say thank you. It shall be so. In Jesus' name, amen and amen and amen. Let's clap our hands to the Lord. Yeah. I have a sense in my heart to say to this church, the things that you are experiencing presently, the things that you are experiencing presently, and in my spirit I sense that you have been experiencing different winds. I sense like winds coming from the north, the south, the east, the west, across the church. There's many different things that has been happening. There's been good things happening. There's been bad things happening. There's been things of testing, and there's been things of trial happening in this church. I don't know. I never spoke to your pastor. But I just sense by the Holy Spirit, and there's individuals in the church that feel you are defeated. There's others that feel I am strong. There's a wave of different, there's a different vibe from different people in the church this morning. But I sense that deep in my heart that God is clearing the air. God is clearing the air, bringing fresh establishment in this church. During this time in this church, God is saying, I'm bringing fresh establishment in the church. That would be in every sector, in every operation of the church. God is bringing about establishment. But God wants those involved in those sectors and in those establishments to be firm, to be immovable, to be steadfast, to be unmovable, so that God could bring around divine stability. Irrespective of what's happening, irrespective of the waves, because of divine ability and the stability that God is bringing about, there will be a stability. You'll find out as you heal yourself to God, as you pray, that God is bringing stability in every facet of this church, whether it is the youth, whether it is the kiddex, whether it is the mothers, whether it is whatever, as you press into God, you will find God is bringing about divine stability. Hallelujah. Believe that. Yes, it will happen. It will happen. So you be faithful. You'll see that our God is more than faithful. Do we need stability? Do we need stability? Yes, every facet. And I believe not only in the church, but that stability that God's bringing in the church will also flow into homes and families. There's some families in this church this morning. You feel a bit distorted. You feel a bit disorientated. God, through the spiritual impetus God's bringing here, it will flow over and affect your homes and your families. And let's celebrate that. Yes. Hallelujah. It shall be so, says the Lord. Amen. You do your part. God is more than faithful to bring his do his part. Hallelujah. We bless you, Lord. Before I preach, I would like to pray for the pastor. Lay my hands on the pastor. Just speak healing over his body. Pastor, would you also stretch out your hands towards the pastor, please? He's God's man for you. Pastor, would you just come and stand in front of me? Just come and stand here. I love this pastor very much. And just stretch out your hands towards the pastor. That's right. Just stretch out your hands towards the pastor. Lay your hand on his back, pastor. That's great. Right? Everybody stretch out your hands towards the pastor. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I rebuke this cold. I rebuke this infection. I rebuke the sickness. I reverse the process in Jesus' mighty name. I speak health and healing now in the name of Jesus from the crown of his head, penetrating his body right down to the soles of his feet. This fever be rebuked in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's celebrate. Go and be healed, Pastor. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Yes. So we relax in the presence of the Lord. We are sensitive to what the Spirit of the Lord is going to do to our hearts this morning and just touch us and revive us and renew us so that we can continue fulfilling divine purposes. Hallelujah. I want to tell you that you are at the right place at the right time this morning. Today is your day. Turn to somebody and say, it's my day. It's my day. It's my day. Say it again. It's my day. Because of Jesus. Hallelujah. It's your day. Yes. Yes. I'll be speaking to you on a message that will indeed be challenging to you with the intent of uplifting you in the faith. It is always God's purpose to uplift us in the faith so that we can become strong in the faith. Remember that. God is God for your benefit. Did you hear what I said? God is God for your benefit. God wants to be a blessing. God is interested in your welfare and well-being. You don't believe that? When I say welfare, God is interested that things should go well with you and for you. Please try and understand that. God is not against you. The devil is against you. God is for you. God is on your side. Turn to somebody and say, God's on my side. Say it again. God's on my side. Therefore, say, therefore, I am a winner. Because God's on my side. Hallelujah. There's a man sitting right at the back with a gray shirt, dark gray shirt, something like that, blue gray. And is that your wife sitting next to you? Would you two please stand? Would you just take each other's hand and listen to what I'm saying? It is not by accident. Are they leaders in your church, Pastor? Or are they office? Okay. Elders, good. Because this is what I'm saying. It is not by chance or accident that you have landed here. They've actually landed here. I don't know how you got here, but you've landed here. But it is God that has ordained it that you should be here for now. Because God is in the process of breaking you open, and bringing forth beauty that's in you that you're not even aware of. Not only is He going to break you open, but there's beauty in you, but besides beauty, there's riches in you, there's wealth in you. I see like, it's like a fruit that's being broken open. There's a certain fruit, when you break it, cut it open, it has many little pips, red pips in it. Pomegranate. That's what I see. I see like a pomegranate. And God is in the process right now of breaking the two of you open so that that wealth, that inner blessing, that inner abundance that's in you might be shared in a greater measure, not only to the church, but to others with whom you will come in contact with. I see that the pomegranate isn't completely open. I see that the skin has been cut through and is just about opening. So you are in the bloom of your freshness. And of your fresh anointing, and of something that's happening in your life. You too are in the bloom. And in due course, you'll be peeled open completely. And the beauty will shine out, the riches will shine out, and there'll be greater enrichment, not only for the two of you, but for those who come in contact with you, for those in this church, and for those that know you outside. There'll be great riches and great beauty to them as well. Receive that. All you do, stay close to the Lord. There's wealth in you. Barana marot. Yes, I see that. Pomegranate, hallelujah. From now on, you're called brother and sister pomegranate. Hallelujah. So when you greet them, say, hello, brother and sister pomegranate. I've come to eat the pomegranate. So get in touch with them and get your pomegranate pips, okay? So that you might become infectious as well. God bless you, brother, whoever you are. Pastor and the rest, judge what I say. Judge what I say. And so God is and shall be glorified. Okay. Better start speaking. Preaching. I like to pray for sick people. I love, but I love to be sensitive to what the Holy Ghost is saying. Okay. This morning, I would like to speak to you and title my sermon, The Place. What's the title of the sermon?
The Place.
What's it?
The Place.
And I would like you to take your Bibles and turn to Genesis chapter 28. Genesis chapter 28. I won't be able to finish the sermon this morning. So come again this afternoon and I'll continue. The Place. Genesis 28.
Hallelujah. Let's turn to the Holy Word of God, the inspired Word of God. Okay, chapter 28, we'll read as from verse 10. I would like to read the whole portion of Scripture, and because there's some truth here that I would like you to observe. There's a man sitting, I can just see his head, and his hand is in front of his face, just about. Right there, he just took his hand away now. Sir, would you please, that took your hand away, please stand. Yes, that's the one who's putting his hand back there again, and there he's standing. Yes, sir. Yeah. I just want to come over and introduce myself to the gentleman. Yes, Jesus, Jesus. It's good to see the two of you again. It's good to see you. Sir. My name is Weber, Frank Weber. You are?
Errol Denise.
Errol Denise. You local?
Yes.
I'm such a delight. I just saw you, you know. It's like I saw like you're sitting behind leaves and shrubs and just your head was sticking out. But I'm so glad I could just come along and shake your head. I believe I need to do something for you. I need to just say a prayer for you. Would you mind if I say a prayer for you, sir? Okay, Errol Denise. That's a very, what's that? Very unusual. Denise? Is that the surname?
Yeah.
Is that English?
Dutch.
Good. Oh, that's great. My home language is just about Dutch. Do you speak Dutch?
No.
Okay.
I barely speak English.
You barely speak English. My mother tongue is just about Dutch. And it's called a language called Afrikaans.
Which
is almost Dutch, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. German? Wie geht's in Ihnen? You don't? Not
Dutch,
at all?
Dutch British.
Delighted. Let me, I just want to lay my hands on you. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this gracious man that you've brought into our midst today. You have divine purpose and plan. I pray in Jesus' name that that plan and purpose might unfold to him today, that he may clearly see the way of the Lord for his personal life. You know his desire. You know his trials. You know his temptations. You know the fights that he have in life at times to survive. I pray that you would stake his weak hand into your strong hand and lead him in Jesus' name. Bless him, Lord. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for the privilege.
Thank you, Frank.
Thank you. Good, good, good. Good to see my brother here, our younger brother. I want to pray for you as well. You don't mind if I pray for you?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, I love you. What's your name?
Victor.
Victor, your wife.
My sister.
Your sister, you and your sister. I lay my hand on your sister as well. Lord, I pray for Victor and his sister. Continue doing the good things that you are doing for him. Make them burning lights and shining flames for you and for your kingdom. Meet them at the very point of their need. Increase the desire, the hunger and thirst for you. Use them mightily in Jesus' name. Victor and sister, God bless you. La, let's clap our hands. I feel at home in the church. Totally at home. I feel it's like home away from home. Thanks. I'm going to read to you as from verse 10. I want you to observe certain sentences and words. And our sermon is titled again, I said, the place. Verse 10. Now Jacob went out from Bathsheba and went down to Haran. So he came, I'm reading from this Living Version, the Spirit-filled Bible, Life Bible, and the Bible, my Bible says, so he came to a certain place. Does your Bible say that? So underline the word place. He came to a certain place and stayed there all night because the sun has set. And he took one of the stones in that place. And put his head, and put it at his head. And he laid down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set on the earth. And its top reached to heaven. And the angels of God was ascending on and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and Isaac, the God of Isaac. And the land which you lie, I will give to you and your descendants. Now, this is God's promise to him. Also, your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth and shall spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in you shall And in you and in your seed, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Behold, I am with you. Thank you for the blessing. All the earth shall be blessed. That's you as well. Because of them, you are blessed and I am blessed. Behold, I am with you to keep you wherever you go. And will bring you back to this land. And I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you. Isn't that encouraging? God saying, I will not leave you until I have done that which I have spoken to you. Isn't that wonderful? This is your promise. Turn to somebody and say, this is my promise. God isn't through with me yet. And he's not going to let me go until he's through. Now that's God's promise to you. Hang on to that promise. Okay? Do you have it? Do you have it? He says, yeah, I'm not going to leave you until I've done that which I have promised. Okay? Here's the promise hanging there. There's the promise. You see the promise? What's the promise? He's not going to leave you until he does that which he has promised. Correct? Do you see the promise hanging? I want you to see by faith. In front of you, there's a promise hanging. Do you see it? Yes. This promise is hanging. God is working in you. Now, I want you to grab the promise. Grab it like that. Grab it with both your hands. Yes, hold on to it. Hold on to it. Yes, yes. Now, bring it down. Bring it down. Put it in your heart. Yes, you've got the promise. Hallelujah. Keep the promise. God isn't through with you yet. God isn't through with me yet. He's going to keep the promise. Hallelujah. So you can go out shouting. You can tomorrow when you get up, hey, I've got this promise. God is working in me. God is going to accomplish his purpose in me. He has promise. And the Bible says in Numbers, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Has he not said, and shall he not do it? Hallelujah. And the Bible says in the New Testament that God cannot lie. Hallelujah. That's the God that we serve. Keep the promise. Keep the promise. During the week, keep the promise. During the month, keep the promise. God says he's working. And the Bible says in the New Testament, it is God that works in you. So he's keeping the promise. Hang on to the promise. Our dear pastors here sitting and ministering around, hold on to the promise. Hold on to the promise. Hold on to the promise. God is continuing doing good works. Hold on to the promise. Let's read on. Let's read on. Now that was another sermon. Okay, let's read on. Verse 16. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place. this place. He says the Lord is in this place. Now Jacob has just been running away from another place, from his father's place. He's just betrayed his brother Esau. He's run away from that place. But he didn't say the Lord was in that place, but he says this place. This is where the Lord is, in this place. Okay, it's very important. Hang in there. The Lord is in this place. This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gates of heaven. This is what he's saying. Hallelujah. Then he goes on. Then Jacob rose early in the morning and took the stone that he had put at his head, set it up as a pillar, and poured oil on top of it. Verse 19. And he called the name of that place. You see? He called the name of that place Bethel. He called the name of that place Bethel. Then it mentions the previous name that place had. Now take your Bibles and go to the book of Psalms, the book of Psalms, chapter 18. Psalms 18. Psalms 18. You don't mind reading your Bible? Psalms 18, verse 19. Turn to Psalms 18, verse 19. 18, Psalms 18, verse 19. You found it? Okay. It says the following. He also brought me out into what? Some Bible says a spacious place. Some Bible says a broad place. What did he do? He brought me into a spacious place. And he brought me into a broad place. Take your Bibles and turn to Psalms 31. There's much more scriptures that I can give you, but I'm just skipping a few scriptures. Psalms 31, verse 8. A broad place. Not a narrow place, a broad place. Right, Psalms 31, verse 8. Listen carefully. And have not shut me up into the hands of the enemy. You have set my feet in a wide place. First he said a spacious place and a broad place, but now here he speaks of a wide place. Verse 20. You shall hide me in the secret place. You shall hide me in the secret place. First he says, yeah, in a wide place, a broad place, a spacious place. Now he said, you shall hide me in the secret place. Don't turn to it. Psalms 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Hallelujah. Place. As we are seated here this morning, I would like to speak to you about the place. I would like to encourage you, firstly, to find your place. Secondly, to keep your place. Thirdly, to secure your place. Shall I go over it again? Firstly, to find your place. Secondly, to keep your place. Thirdly, to secure your place. Say it with me. Number one is to find your. Number two is to keep. Number three is to secure your place. As we are seated here in God's house this morning, that's imperative. You've got to find your place in the Lord. You've got to find your place in the church. And you've got to find your place in ministry. Did you hear that? Where have you got to find your place? In the Lord, in the church, and in ministry. Because each one of you seated here are in ministry. Did you hear what I said? What did I say? Each one of you seated here are in ministry. Whether you're preaching, or whether you're baking a cake, or whether you're washing the car, or whether you're at work, or whether you're at play, or whether you're at college or university, you are in ministry. You are in God's ministry. There's others that's full-time, but you are actually full-time as well. Because you're a child of God, you've been chosen of God, so you're in ministry. So you should find your place. Do you have it? You should find your place in ministry. Find your place in the church. Find your place in the Lord. But likewise, find your place in life. There are many faceless people in this world. People just roaming around without purpose, without vision, without intent. People just coming and going. People, they walk around as if they are dazed, as if they are lost. They found no purpose for their existence. Some people feel like that. They feel that they are just breathing air. They feel that they are just taking up space. They feel that they are just wasting time being around on earth. But that's why it's imperative. God hasn't made you as a mistake. None of you are a mistake. Hello, anybody listening to me? You are not a mistake. You are not a mishap. You are not an accident. Are you listening to me? Because sometimes our parents tell us, but you were a mistake. You were an accident. You just happened to be. I want to tell you, you didn't just happen to be. God ordained that you should be here. It was God's plan. It was God's purpose for you to be here. Much so for you to be in the service this morning so that you could hear that you've got purpose in life. Never mind the mishap and things that has happened to you thus far. God has got purpose for you. So it's important for you to find your place in life as well. Why is that so important? Simple. Simple. Because you may be in the wrong place. Or you could be in the right place. As we are seated here, you could be in a good place. Or you could be in a bad place. I don't know you. But God knows you. You could be in a broad place that we've read about here. Or you could be in a narrow place. You could hardly move. You can be in a place of abundance. Spiritually. Materially, financially, or whatever, but mainly spiritually, you could be in a place of abundance or you could be in a place of lack. Therefore, I'm saying to you, find your place. Have you got that? Find your place so that you're not in a wrong place. You see, if you're in the wrong place in life and in the church, you will be like a dislocated joint. And if you had some dislocation anyway, anybody had a dislocation? Yes, he had a dislocation. There. Is the dislocation comfortable? Is it enjoyable? Is it something to look forward to? Is it something to enjoy? No. When you have a dislocation, the dislocation affects the entire body. The whole body feels pain because there's a dislocation. Why is there a dislocation? The joint isn't in place. You affect the entire body when there's a dislocation. Not only is there a dislocation when the joint is out, not only is there a dislocation, but there's also a malfunction. Is that true? You know, when your shoulder's dislocated, can you wave around and do what you want to with your arm? No, there's a malfunction. It can't function effectively as it should because it's out of place. Likewise in life and in the church and in your ministry, if you are out of joint, you are malfunctioning. As an individual, you are malfunctioning. As an individual, you affect not only yourself, but you affect the entire body. Is that true? The whole body, the church is affected because you are out of joint. You're not at the right place. That's why it's imperative, it's important that you get to the right place. And if you're out of joint, you affect yourself, your marriage, your home in so many ways because you are disjointed. How do you solve that problem? Put it back into, he's right. Put it back into place. Find your right place. In the book of Nehemiah, chapter 3, chapter 4, you read about the Israelites rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. As they build this massive wall, you would discover that people were giving specific places, specific areas to build. You had the priests, the perfumers, the laborers, but they all were allocated a specific place to build. Okay? And each one was saying, from the fish gate to this gate, from this gate to that gate. They all had a specific place to build from. That's why it's important that you find your place. Do you want to be effective for God? Who of you want to be effective for God? Effectiveness for God comes by finding your place. If you're in the right place with God and where He wants you to be, then your effectiveness comes forth. Do you want to be effective in what you're doing? Get to the right place. Then you will be effective. The right place will bring forth in you the right function. Did you hear what I said? It will bring forth in you the right function. You can't function correctly if you're out of place. Do you understand what I'm saying? This church could be much more bigger if each one of you find his place and function out of that place, then you'll be much more effective. The great speaker, he's an international speaker, speaks at colleges and in conference. His surname is Collins. He speaks much about the corporate world and the business world. His philosophy is the following. He says, for a business to be successful, it's very important that you have the right people. Do you get that? Likewise, for the church of Jesus Christ, you must have the right people. The people must be born again by the Spirit of the living God. Those are the right people. I'm not judging you to be the right people by who you are and where you come from and what you own and what your education. No, 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 no. That's not the qualification for the right people in the sight of God. The qualification for the right people in the sight of God is to be born again by the Spirit of the living God. Hallelujah. And to be filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues. Those are the right people. Colin says, he speaks on a subject from good to great. He speaks on the subject, good and great. He believes it's not necessary for you only to be good. You can become great. That's his philosophy. But he says, in order for a company to become great, they need the right people. That's number one. The second is much more important. They need the right people in the right place. Now, if that is a philosophy of business, the church is God's business. Hello? I'm a businessman. You're a businessman, you're a businesswoman. But your business is also now in the kingdom of God. You're working. You're a co-worker with Jesus Christ. Each one of you are co-workers of Jesus Christ. If you're born again, you're working together. So you're a businessman. You're a businesswoman. Even if you haven't got a job, you're a businesswoman. Hallelujah. You're in God's business. Hallelujah. Huh? Turn to somebody and say, I'm in God's business. So the right person in the right place. You see, that will bring the right place and the right person. It brings forth creativity. Did you hear that? Yeah, you will become more creative. Why? Because in the right place, you find fulfillment. What do you find in the right place? What do you find in the right place? Have you noticed how unfulfilled some of you are? How you run around in circles, how you run from this place to the other place. You know why? You are unfulfilled. You haven't found your place. But if you find your place, you find, feel good. This is where I belong. This is what I'm supposed to be doing. I feel comfortable. So my creativity can come forth. My creativity juice can flow because I am in the right place. During the week, I went to Dandenong Shopping Center. I took my wife's watch there just for fixing. And along the side, they were advertising these massage machines, some hand, almost like a woman's hairdryer. They were advertising these machines and these chairs and so forth. So I said to the lady, here am I, do my back too. And she did my back with this machine. I don't know what they call it, sweetheart. Oh, and it felt so nice. That's nice. And she went down to the legs. I felt so nice. I said, that's so nice. Give me more. I said, my elbows has got a pain. Yeah, do this. It felt so nice. Then they had these chairs. And I went and sat in one of these chairs and waited for them. Other people were being served in chairs, and they switched on this chair. My feet went into the socket, both my feet, took my shoes off, went into the socket, and I was sitting in luxury in this chair, and suddenly something started moving at the back, and massaging my back. I felt so, that's good. I enjoyed it. And my feet were gripped, both my feet were gripped, ankles were gripped in the sun. I feel so nice. I felt that I've arrived at the right place. I was being massaged and fulfilled. If you come to the right place, God has a special way of massaging you. You know, you feel, this is nice. It went up and down and all over you. Get to the right place. Get to the right place. No wonder you feel so tired, unnecessarily tired. No wonder you feel so wasted and so disjointed. Maybe you're out of place. Sometimes our marriages doesn't work because we're out of... I haven't even started yet and my time to stop already. My goodness me. It's important. It's imperative that we find the right place. Because I said, fulfillment comes with your right place. I said that your gifting, proper gifting comes. And you feel comfortable. We don't feel out of place with the, when you are at the right place. You know something else that comes to the with you or to you when you're in the right place? It's authority. Did you hear that? Did you hear that? When you're in the wrong place, you feel you've got no authority. But if you're in the right place, I remember many years ago, I was working for Mobile Oil Company, you know, Mobile Oil. I was a manager in Mobile Oil, and then I got promoted in a special position, a manager of a few men in the transport department. Now, these men that I worked, this is at our head office. I was first at the regional office, then because of this promotion, becoming a manager in the regional office. At the regional office, these men in the transport department, some of them worked in the company much longer than I did. Much, much longer. They knew much more about the transport than I did. I was just in offices writing exemptions and doing buying cars, etc., in the offices. But now I come here and these guys has got great experience that I have. Some of them were older than what I am. Some of them were more attractive than what I am. I know it's hard to believe, but they were. Some of them had longer hair than what I have. Some of them were light of complexion than what I am. But you know the amazing thing? I came into this new place. Irrespective of their experiences, I was their boss. I were their boss. I came to a new position of authority. I was in charge of them, irrespective of what they look like, irrespective of their experience, irrespective of their age. I came to a new place, a place of authority. They had to submit to me, do what I say. Ask me if they want to do certain things. You see, that's what authority is. Child of God, come to the right place and see authority working in your life. Hallelujah. 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 This lady in America, she owned a supermarket. She loves Jesus Christ. And that day wasn't a good day for the devil. A robber came into her little supermarket with a gun in his hand. There were customers. He walked in and he said to her, "Hand over the money." She was shocked. The people were all terrified in the shop. She looked at him. He says, "Hand over the money." She said to him, "In the name of Jesus, get out of here." People thought, "What on earth is this woman doing?" He said, "Hand over the money." She said, "In the name of Jesus, get out of here." He turned around and walked out. Amen. Hallelujah. What happened? She came to the right place and found her authority. Oh, Jesus, now I must start preaching. That was the introduction. But do you understand the importance of place? And you, by faith, I want you to move and step forward and say, "Lord, I'm coming to my correct place in you. Whatever that place is, I want to move into my place so that I might be fulfilled, so that I might be effective, so that I might be creative, so that I might operate under full authority, the right place." Let's all stand and we'll pray. Tonight I will continue with the message because that is just about the introduction. Yeah. Let's lift up our hands and pray with me. Lift up your hands. Say, "Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. I commit my body, my soul, and my spirit to be in the right place that you have ordained for me, so that I may fulfill your divine purposes in my life, in Jesus' name. Because I realize that I'm the head and not the tail. I am above and not beneath. I will lend and not borrow. And whatsoever, I do shall prosper. I commit myself to you now. Be glorified in and through me. In Jesus' name, clap your hands. God bless you.